From the racetracks around Australia, here's Inside Motorsport.
Good evening, I'm Colin Ford and welcome to another edition of Inside Motorsport. And this weekend, Peter Norton, he's having the weekend off, and Craig Revell is up in Queensland at Queensland Raceway, where he brings us our reports from the latest Procar standalone meeting.
Procar have held their second standalone meeting for the season 2001 with a crowd of 13,545 attending over the 2 days. They got to see some fantastic racing. With Paul Stoeckle turning the corner from his disappointing race at the GMC 400, he dominated Nations Cup to take 3 victories, including the reverse race, which had everyone on their feet. In GT Performance Class A, John Bow in the Mustang was the man everyone was trying to chase down, and whilst Brett Peters and Wayne Boatwright had interesting battles all day, John Bow was the man on the top step at the podium at the end of the run. We'll have more details on the Queensland Raceway round of the Procar series coming up later in the show.
This weekend, of course, the big focus is on the Safari Rally over in Africa. And we now bring a report from Greg Strange of the BBC.
The Safari Rally at its midpoint and a string of top names already out. Richard Burns, Colin McRae, Marcus Donholm and Didier Auriol of France all eliminated yesterday. And this morning, on the very first stage of the day, Carlos Sainz also forced out when he lost oil pressure. That gave the fourth champion, Tommy Mäkinen, a clear lead at the head of the field. 3 of the day's 5 stages are now complete, and Mäkinen has a 5-minute, 6-second lead in his Mitsubishi from Harry Rovanperä in the sole surviving Peugeot, and he's 9 minutes and 18 seconds up on Norway's Petter Solberg in the sole surviving Subaru. Germany's Armin Schwarz is a distant fourth for Skoda. The Safari living up to its fearsome reputation. 41 crews began the event, 16 are already out. Many of the cars are walking wounded, and we've still a day and a half still to go.
Greg was able to catch up with one of the people who was unfortunate in trying to go for a fourth win in a row this weekend in the Safari Rally, who had mechanical problems and retired, and that, of course, is Colin McRae.
Got with a problem with the steering halfway through the stage. The arm that holds the wheeling plates that steers the car broke off. We managed to repair it, but then it broke off again right at the end and obviously caused the car to go off the road. We got a bit stuck in a field, and then trying to get back on the road, it burnt the clutch out. So that was it.
These things happen, of course, on the Safari Rally. It's a very tough event, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very tough event, but it's a real blow because we were driving a very safe, careful rally. I mean, the car was fine. We hadn't had any punctures. There's got to be a reason for this happening.
So you're not going to get that elusive 4 wins in a row, and you won't head the all-time winners list tonight, but that doesn't really matter so much. It's more those championship points going begging that will concern you.
Yeah, obviously the championship's the main thing. There's always time to win rallies, for sure. A lot depends on where Tommy finishes, where everyone else finishes. There's a long way to go in this rally. Richard and I are out already, so who knows what can happen.
And 7 rallies left, of course, including this one. There's a long, long way to go before the championship's decided.
Well, it's still a long way to go, sure.
Roll on Finland.
We're not worrying about it yet.
Yeah, Greg Strange from the BBC talking with Colin McRae. His Ford Focus suffered mechanical problems, and it has really been a quite incredible Safari Rally with cars breaking down, problems, cars catching fire, you name it, it's been happening. But moving to the world of Formula One, and during testing this week, Michael Schumacher was lucky to escape from a 120-mile-per-hour crash at Monza. The German driver said the incident at the Variante della Roggia had happened very quickly. Basically, they seem to think that the car lost downforce at the back end of the car, and as you're seeing the chicane, the car leapt up and away it went. So the doctors ordered him to take a couple of days off, and he hit the guardrail twice at high speed. So Rubens Barrichello taking over the remainder of the testing there for the team during the weekend. Nigel Mansell, another Formula One driver, is to make his first appearance in the European Minardi two-seater Formula One car at Donington Park on the 21st of August. The 1992 world champion will be giving passengers rides in the team's Thunder in the Park event at the Leicestershire track, the venue of the 1993 European Grand Prix. The Thunder in the Park event is designed as an opportunity for fans to get closer to Formula One than they are able to at a Grand Prix meeting. In addition to the two-seater rides, there will also be demonstration runs, autograph sessions, and a staged race between four of the European Minardi team two-seater Minardis. Mansell, who has not raced in Formula 1 since quitting McLaren in mid-1995, last drove a Grand Prix machine at last year's historic festival at Silverstone, where he demonstrated his 1992 title-winning Williams Renault. His last public outing was at the inaugural meeting at the new Rockingham Oval, where he broke the UK record for average speed on a closed course while christening the track in a Reynard Ford Champ Car. Mentioning Champ Car, we now have Jim Murphy's Honda IndyCar update.
Welcome to the Honda Champ Car update. I'm Jim Murphy. Join me now as we make a visit to the fast-paced world of the kart series. Michael Andretti has always had a soft spot in his heart for Toronto, and why not? Prior to today, he had won here no fewer than six times. When a first-lap incident landed him in the tire barriers, it looked for all the world like the magic had ended. In actuality, the magic was just beginning as Andretti drove from last to first to take his record seventh victory on the streets of Toronto. The weekend started off looking like it was going to be a Penske Fest, however, as Gilles Deferrin and Helio Castroneves inhabited the front row, with Deferrin taking his second Toronto pole. Despite not leading a lap all season, Deferrin wasn't bothered by the fact that only once has the Toronto pole sitter been victorious.
I'm not a great believer in these statistics, to be quite honest. I mean, I think if you look at every race for how many years, you said? For whatever, 15 years or so, I think you find a different reason every time. So I don't think there's any common ground there in any of those races. Yeah, so we're trying to make the statistics better towards the other side.
At the start, Deferrin led, but the action was back in the pack. Michael Andretti, with his worst starting position ever at Toronto, starting from 13th, was caught up with Scott Dixon in Turn 3 and nosed the car into the tire barriers. With his engine stalled, he appeared to be disastrously afflicted, but his recovery to land on the podium was nothing short of spectacular.
After the first lap, obviously, we actually thought the race was over for us, and I got to give a lot of credit to the kart crew. They were able to get me started, and we beat the pace car before it came and lapped me, so they helped me win this one today. I want to thank them. But even after that, we had a hard-fought race from then on. But we took advantage of being in the back by getting a couple pit stops on a couple of those yellows because we really didn't have any track position to give up. So we took advantage of that, and it put us in a different strategy from the other guys. As the race wore on, I think the strategy that Team Motorola took began to work, and we picked off a lot of cars because I think a lot of cars were saving fuel, and I was able to go for it. You know, it was quite a nice thing to be able to drive hard almost the whole race instead of having to save fuel, and I actually had fun doing it. You know, we passed I don't know how many cars today, but quite a few, and I got to say the competition, besides the guy in the first lap, but besides that, everybody that we passed, we did a lot of wheel-to-wheel running up through the hill and off of turn 3 and 4 and 5. I did it with like five guys, and we each gave each other room, and that was fun. That's what racing's all about.
Andretti moved through the field, passing more cars on the outside of turn 3 than folks had seen in years.
Everybody was blocking to the inside, and was leaving the outside open, and I was able to take advantage of that. That's a pass that I've done many, many times here. That's vintage Toronto.
Canadian races have been tough on Canadians, with Paul Tracy being the only Canadian to ever win a Champ Car race in his home country. Alex Tagliani chased Andretti to the line, but didn't have the fuel to make a go of it, settling for second.
This weekend, we had a great qualifying yesterday. We started fifth, and at the beginning of the race, I had a great battle with Adrian and Tony Kanaan. Once I was running behind Helio and Kenny Brack, I was just saving fuel and waiting for the opportunity to get back in the pit and maybe gain some position. And that's what my team did. You know, the players' team did a fantastic job in the first pit stop. I came out, we gained some position, and I was running second for a while behind Gilles, and just hanging there. And at a certain time on a yellow flag, I came in. My team says, if Gilles is coming into the pit, you just follow him. And that's what I did. And I came out again behind him, and we were saving a lot of fuel at the time. And I passed him. I ran away a little bit, and after that, it was just a question of waiting when everybody was going to settle at the end. And I remember Michael coming out of the pit, and I know he was not going to give me too much room, but my team says, you know, full lean, and you know, Michael came out, and I ran in the marble, so that's where he picked his position. And from that point, I was behind him. And, you know, just towards the end, I was seeing him just spin his tires and get ready for the restart. And I knew we had a very good car on hot tires, but, you know, my team didn't want me to spin the tires and use fuel. So I was in sixth gear, you know, just kept my tire cold. And that's why I was not as competitive on the restart.
Adrian Fernandez, the series' only owner driver, finished third in a brilliant drive for his new team.
Well, firstly, I'm very excited for Fernandez Racing. This is our first podium of our first year, and it's exciting not just for me finishing third, but for the two drivers, me and Cindy, finishing the top 10. It's quite exciting. It's been a long road to get where we are, and it's a lot of work that has taken to be where we are, and it's something that makes me feel very proud. The race, at the start of the race, I have a boost problem right on the start, and I dropped maybe four or five positions. I had absolutely no power, so then suddenly the boost came back, and I had a good battle there with Moreno and Paul Tracy, managed to pass Paul and stay there and make some passes. There were some yellows, and I managed to pass some people there, start moving up, and then we were like a top five. And one of the restarts, I passed Tagliani, Alex, and there was another yellow. There were quite a bit of yellows today. So in one of those yellows, I asked John, my engineer, about, is it going to go green? He said, no, it's just yellow, still yellow. And we were having some problems with the radio, and he told me green, and I just didn't hear him. So I was in, you know, saving fuel and on the wrong gear. But when I realized everybody was gone, Alex took a great opportunity to pass me back.
Here's how they finished at the Molson Indy Toronto. The winner was Michael Andretti over Alex Tagliani and Adrian Fernandez. Alex Zanardi and Scott Dixon round out the top five. Then it was Paul Tracy, Mauricio Guzman, Max Pappas, Shinji Nakano, and Tony Kanaan through the top 10. 11 through 15, Roberto Moreno, Christian Fittipaldi, Bruno Junqueira, Gilles Deferrin, and Cristiano D'Amata. 16 through 20th, Michelle Jordan Jr., Memo Gidley, Brian Herta, Elio Castroneves, and Kenny Brack. 21 through 25 was Patrick Carpentier, Toro Takagi, Oriol Servia, Dario Franchitti, and Max Wilson. Rounding out the 26-car field, Jimmy Vassar. The time of the race, 1 hour, 59 minutes, 58.904 seconds for an average speed of 83.375 miles an hour. The margin of victory, 2.741 seconds. In a race marred by attrition and accidents, all the championship contenders suffered maladies of some sort or another. Andretti's win catapults him from 6th to 2nd in the points hunt, 11 points behind series leader Kenny Brack. Next up for the FedEx Championship Series is the 500-mile race on the impressive oval at the Michigan International Speedway. Each week, the Honda Champ Car Update brings you the latest news from the world of karts, straight from the track and directly from the driver's mouth. This experience is brought to you by the folks at Honda. Racing is part of who Honda is, and you can see that by visiting www.hondaracing.com.
Yeah, and continuing in the world of karts, as mentioned, this weekend they're running at the Michigan International Speedway for a 500-mile race. And there, the weather has actually thrown things well and truly into confusion and chaos for the qualifying sessions. And for the second time this season, Champ Car qualifying was rained out at an oval venue. Kenny Brack of Team Rahal has been awarded the pole position, based on the results of the Saturday morning practice session at Michigan, though he did not receive a championship point that normally accompanies a Champ Car pole. Series leader Brack, who topped a 229 mile per hour in the morning practice session, said that, "I think we have a very strong possibility for the pole. It would have been interesting, but I think we had a very good shot." Behind the team Rahal cars of Brack and Max Pappas on the front row, the grid takes an interesting turn with Tora Takagi in third, based on his 227.9 mile per hour lap, which he completed on the Saturday morning. Takagi's presence at the front of the field could pose a challenge for those behind him. He was placed on probation by kart chief steward Chris Neifel after last week's race at Toronto for unsportsmanlike driving, though he hasn't put a wheel wrong in the 2 days of qualifying and practice at Michigan. The drivers most hurt by Saturday's rain were Michael Andretti, who's now considered to have qualified 18th, Helio Castroneves at 19th, and Dario Franchitti at 25th. And Dario Franchitti was particularly upset by kart's decision to base the starting grid for Sunday's Champ Car race on the Saturday morning practice times instead of on championship position after the rain washed out the qualifying session on the 2 mile oval. The Scottish driver lost an engine and wound up last in the session with a speed of 220.453 miles per hour. At Milwaukee, the other venue where qualifying was rained out earlier this year, the grid was based on Friday times because of Saturday morning practice session being cancelled. A change in the kart rules for this year made Friday a test day with no bearing on the rest of the weekend. And according to Franchitti, it's a farce. The whole point of going on championship position for qualifying order was so we didn't have what happened on Saturday morning, which is people running around with no wing on the thing, just hanging everything out for a tow, just to be at the top of the order. Dario admitted that starting from the back for a 500-mile race at Michigan is less of a handicap than it could be at other tracks. He said that he's won from last position at Cleveland the last couple of weeks, and Michael Andretti has won one. It's a long race. We'll give it our best shot. It's going to be difficult coming from there. You have some experienced guys who are starting at the front who maybe shouldn't be there. It'll be interesting to see how it goes on Sunday. So things definitely turning upside down in the world of open wheel racing in America, and particularly for that kart race at Michigan. For those people in Australia, no doubt, if you're watching the broadcast, I think it'll be on Monday night because of the time difference, and that's going to make it well and truly interesting to see what's happened there because of the turnaround with the grid because of the rain at Michigan Raceway. We're also looking at two-wheelers. The other two-wheelers we're running last weekend was the British Grand Prix, and it was round 11 of the World Formula One Championship, and there it was Mika Häkkinen who was the man who came through, the man who has been having a horror year this year, who came through to win from Michael Schumacher in the Ferrari. This was a good showing by Häkkinen, and of course a bad showing for his teammate, who's the front-running contender behind Schumacher in the World Championship, which is David Coulthard, who ended up with a DNF in his McLaren Mercedes. In third place was Rubens Barrichello in the Ferraris, sort of doing the usual thing there of backing up Michael Schumacher. And then behind him in fourth position was Juan Pablo Montoya in the BMW Williams. Again, people were expecting bigger things from his teammate, Ralf Schumacher, in the other BMW Williams, and fortunately he retired a DNF on 24 laps. Very interesting position then. Fifth place was Kimi Räikkönen in the Sauber Petronas. A great finish for that young Finnish driver there. And in sixth was Nick Heidfeld in the Sauber Petronas. Seventh, Heinz Harald Frentzen in the Jordan Honda. Eighth, Jacques Villeneuve in the Bar Honda. All those drivers actually from Kimi Räikkönen were one lap down to Eddie Irvine, who finished ninth in the Jaguar Racing Jaguar. He finished a lap down as well. Then it was Jos Verstappen in the Arrows, 10th. Jon Alesi in the Prost Acer, 11th. Pedro De La Rosa in the Jaguar Racing, 12th. Giancarlo Fisichella in the Benetton, 13th. Enrique Bernoldi in the Arrows, 14th. Jenson Button in the Renault, 15th. And Fernando Alonso, last of the qualified runners in the European Minardi, finished three laps down in 16th. The DNFs, Ralf Schumacher in the Williams, Luciano Berti in the Prost, David Coulthard in McLaren, Yano Trulli in the Jordan, and Olivier Panis in the Bar Honda. So things not going well for some of there. As always, we've got the after the race press conference from the UK, and we bring that to you now.
This was a bittersweet day for McLaren. David Coulthard's championship chances collapsed like his rear suspension on lap 4. Then Mika Hakkinen roared to his first Silverstone victory and his first overall in close on a year. Like a man on a mission, he hunted Michael Schumacher, passed him outrageously, and never let up to the line.
Really, what I was planning to do, I was really wanting to push really hard to make a big gap. That when I come down there and park the car, I have a time to have a cup of tea when this boy's coming back, you know. Obviously, after all this trouble that's been going on this year. So it's good to win it, obviously, and particularly here in Silverstone. Because trying for English team and English crowd, so we made a great show, you know.
Schumacher could afford to cruise. Coulthard's demise, prompted by a first corner collision with Trulli's Jordan, cut the pressure at a stroke.
Certainly, I mean, I parked the car and waved him by. No, what a joke, obviously. Yes. No, my car wasn't really the way I would have liked to have it, in particular into cops. I had a lot of problems. I got sideways a couple of times at the entry, and when it happened with Mika, exactly that happened. I lost the entry, and I managed to keep it on the track, which that was the only thing I was worried at this moment. And then Mika was beside me, and nothing I could do against that.
Montoya led briefly after another trademark move on Schumacher, but a combination of Ferrari pit work and Williams' indecision allowed Barrichello to snatch third.
You know, I've been told that I was a second faster than Montoya, and that Mika was quite clear from Michael that it was nothing to gain anymore. So, yeah, I had a chance to relax. I mean, I didn't have the balance I wouldn't have liked it since Friday, to be honest with you. So I was having to drive it quite carefully, although I was trying to be quite fast. And I was lucky that my car was quite good at exiting backages. Otherwise, I couldn't hold anybody. But it was good to see Montoya coming into the pits, and then I had the chance to come in and still be in front of him. After that, the car with the new tires were a little bit better, so I was okay to drive away.
Raikkonen and Heidfeld took both Saubers into the points again, but Eddie Irvine and Jenson Button were well off the pace, lapped in 9th and 15th respectively.
Jonathan Ledyard with the BBC giving the results there from the British Formula 1 Grand Prix. And obviously a great turnaround for the McLaren team and for Mika Hakkinen. There's been a lot of rumours running around for some time that he would be retiring potentially at the end of this year. But given that race result in the UK, obviously things could be looking a little bit different for him. No doubt, as always, a good result always helps a driver refocus. And, of course, it'll be interesting to see what Michael Schumacher thinks in terms of his accident in Monza and what that might do for him. But, of course, this weekend as well over in the UK, they've got some racing that's going on in terms of Formula 3. And again, that's where James Courtney, the young Australian driver, is lining up. And the Formula 3 racing today, our time, will be at Donington. And James Courtney has qualified 9th for both races. His teammate for the Jaguar Formula 3 racing team has qualified a few places ahead of him. But it's the Japanese driver Sato who has taken out pole for both of those Formula 3 races at Donington today. And James actually had his test drive in a Formula 1 Jaguar during the week, and he described it as a Formula 3 with rockets attached. Obviously, some fun for him. But as it is today, they're racing in the latest round of the British Touring Car Championship at Knockhill, and it's Jason Plato who's clawed back another 2 points close to championship leader Ivan Muller with pole position for both races. In a session first disrupted by rain and then briefly stopped while Dan Eves' burning Peugeot was extinguished, Plato led the way. Plato felt that progress he and his engineer John Morton had made in the car in the morning practice session had given him a definite speed advantage over his teammate Muller and James Thompson. Looked evenly matched, although Muller claimed second on the grid for both races. Thompson reckoned a stop late in the session for 4 new tyres was badly timed and left him without the best tyre grip when the track was at its quickest. Thompson and Phil Bennett completed the top 4 for both races, but newcomer Thomas Erdos gave Peugeot something to think about by putting the Lexus 5th on the grid ahead of Steve Soper's 406 and close to Bennett's Astra. Dan Eves was upbeat about his chances before qualifying, having made good progress in free practice, but all went horribly wrong. First, his 406 failed a ride height check, and his tyres were wiped out. And then it all went up in flames when a fuel rail went and the car went up in flames. That was the end of Eve's day and the start of a very long night for the Peugeot mechanics to try and get the car ready for the race day on Sunday. If the wiring loom was too badly damaged, it would mean that the team would have to make a trip back to Coventry for someone to get a new wiring loom. Gordon Shedden stood up the regulars with pole position in the BTC production class. The reigning Ford Fiesta champion, racing for the first time in 7 months, made the best of tricky conditions in the GR Motorsport Ford Focus. Title contenders James Kay and Simon Harrison were next up in their Barwell Honda Accord and HTML Peugeot 306 respectively, with Roger Moen fourth for HTML and Simon Graves fifth for Barwell. So Jason Plateau in both pole positions for both races for the latest round of the British Touring Car Championship at Knockhill today. As well, the latest round of the American Le Mans Series is taking place, and it's going to be some interesting racing there as well at Sears Point, where Ronaldo Capello took his customary position atop the timesheets in qualifying at Sears Point, the circuit where his former teammate Alan McNish trounced the entire field during the ALMS race last year. Capello sat in the pits, permitting the other prototype runners to scrap for a quick time until the closing minutes of the session when he emerged to put the Audi R8 almost a second clear of teammate Frank Bieler. Andy Wallace put the champion Audi in third, but David Brabham wasn't far behind in the 2000 spec Panos LMP Roadster S, giving the beleaguered Atlanta-based team some much-needed encouragement. But Frank LaGorch did well to finish 5 seconds adrift. He had only second and third gears at his disposal. Terry Borchella bagged the GTS pole early in the Saline S7R, while the Corvette spent much of the session trying to get within range of the Ford-powered supercar. Ron Fellows finally set a time within a second of the Saline shortly before the end. It was Borchella's first pole in the ALMS series. BMW's controversial fleet of V8-powered M3s have been a talking point of the weekend, and at a glance at the timesheets will show why. They qualified within a second of the Corvettes and were quicker than the Chevys for much of free practice. Dirk Müller put in just 5 laps during qualifying and set a time of 1 minute 33.763 seconds. The quickest non-BMW runner in GT class was Randy Pobst in the McKenna Porsche 911 GT3R with a 1 minute 35.303 seconds. So the qualifying positions there for Sears Point has Capello and Christensen on pole in the Audi R8 from Bieler and Pirro in an Audi R8. Then there's the privateer champion team car, the Audi R8 of Wallace and Herbert. And Johnny Herbert has confirmed that he'll be in the Audi R8 for the rest of the season. Then Brabham and Magnussen in the Pinos LMP Roadster. Collard, Tinso in the Cadillac Northstar. Angelelli and Taylor in the Northstar. Then Field in the Lola Judd and LaGorche and so on down the field. So American Le Mans Series looking interesting there. Now, this weekend, as I mentioned earlier, the racing has been taking place up at Queensland Raceway with the Procar Series, and Craig Revell was our man up there at Queensland Raceway, and we'll hopefully now get hold of Craig and see if we can get the results from today. Craig, can you hear us up there?
Colin, and it was an interesting day. You were mentioning Formula 3 in Britain. Well, of course, Formula 3 is being run in Australia and this year under the well, the banner of Procar. It is its own division in its own right, but Procar have certainly looked towards helping promote Formula 3 as the number one open-wheel Formula 4 aspiring drivers. And it was an interesting series of races on the track. In fact, they had 15 cars greeting the starter at all those events, all the races today, and that was particularly interesting because of Formula Holden's what seems like demise. But on fantastic weather, although the Queensland Raceway has got perhaps a little bit to be desired as a course, Peter Hackett and Damon Templeman both had interesting runs in those two races. The Dallaras, or 98 model and 96 models respectively, were running in an interesting race. Hackett getting the advantage in race one, and it was Templeman from New Zealand who had the win in race number two. Although that was one of the support races here, it certainly did draw a lot of interest, as did the Ute Muster. As we saw at Wakefield Park in Canberra, in New South Wales, at Goulburn, the Utes certainly did attract a large number of people to the circuit. Here at Queensland Raceway, 400 Utes were part of the action at lunch, with all but a few going around the circuit, doing a bit of circle work and the like, which really did have a great atmosphere to the day's racing. with the Utes, it was an interesting mixture of people because taking some time out to walk around the back of the track, they were certainly getting right into the racing, but not only when the Utes were on the track, when GT Performance Class B had three Volkswagens in the field, the crowd was quite interested in cheering the Bugs on as they were making their way around the track. But ahead of the report, some of the interesting notes that we saw out there was it was the start of the new look Vipers with gearbox, brake and aero packages all being homologated for the cars. That did make them a fair bit more competitive, and particularly Jeff Morgan and also Darcy Russell, of course, finishing on the podium before the homologation package was approved at the GMC 400. They all have a bright outlook on how the Vipers will be performing in future. But Paul Stokel is going to be a hard act to follow because he was very dominating in races today. We'll hear from Paul Stokel in just a few moments. But another interesting spectator at the event was Matt Neal, who, of course, had been running in the well, the British Touring Car Championship at the beginning of the year, and he is now going to be running with the Big Kev Racer of Paul Morris later on, or through the later part of this season, of course, starting at Oran Park in a week's time, and I'm sure everyone is looking forward to that drive up the highway for the next round of the Australian Touring Car Championship. But Paul Morris, the most recent winner in that series, was part of the V8 Brutes this weekend, and he also was enjoying himself immensely. We also saw out there the Mitsubishi Mirage series, which has been making quite a name for it. And amazingly enough, quite a large number of cars were all part of that racing, which concluded the day about an hour ago. So certainly plenty of racing action on the track. And I think the very big crowd of 13,545 people over the 2 days was testimony to what Procar has on offer. And of course, from that, you can also see that that is the largest crowd at Queensland Raceway outside of the V8 Supercar Series. So they have hit two winners so far with their formula, and a lot of the talk in the pit area is about the build-up to the non-championship final of the Procar Series, which is the Sandown 500. And Colin, there is a lot of interest in how that race is going to pan out, and a bit of controversy with some other homologation rules. We'll see the Vipers, who are now out in good position with their engine, with their gearbox and brake package. It has got a bit of a drawback. They will have to make something like 7 pit stops to be able to compete over 500-kilometre race. And considering the other teams are talking 3 to 4 pit stops, that is a huge disadvantage.
Yep. I think the interesting thing is, too, that we're basically... it's hasn't really been officially announced yet as far as I'm aware, but it looks very likely that the proposed V8 supercar test day at Bathurst, which was going to conflict with that Sandown 500, is definitely not a goer. Too many of the teams were saying that it was going to cost them too much money, they hadn't budgeted for it, and they weren't going to get any real value out of running that test day at Bathurst. Plus the fact that a lot of the V8 runners were also signed up as drivers and co-drivers for the Procar, the Sandown 500 race, and they're in contracts there already, so that would have made it a bit of a non-event for some of the teams.
Yes, well, that's right, and the talk today is that that test day has been cancelled just through lack of interest from everyone but Avesco and Tony Cochran.
Yeah, obviously he's trying to hype the event up as best he can. And of course, the interesting part is too there that at this point in time, still no word on a naming rights sponsor for the 1,000-kilometre race at Bathurst. Last year they had FIA Insurance, of course, part of the failed HIH Insurance Group. And as it is at this point in time, no naming rights sponsor, nothing even apparently on the horizon. And of course, that must be a real worry, despite their big crowd-pulling power, the fact that the Bathurst race at this point in time does not appear to have a naming rights sponsor, but no doubt they've got somebody waiting in the wings.
Yeah, and another interesting quote that I heard this weekend was, of course, Philip Pilates, who had his car stolen after that Wakefield Park round. He was quite distraught at the fact that he lost his race car, but he was also quite disappointed at the fact that he put in an insurance claim. His car hasn't been found yet, so the police haven't had any good news for him. And unfortunately for him, there's not been any good news on the insurance front. With the insurance company that he had covering the race car and trailer and the like has collapsed in England, and that has seen them, in a very disappointing situation.
Yeah, not the best thing at all. And actually, it's quite interesting the fact that the HIH isn't the only insurance company to go down the tubes. Actually, another insurance company in the UK has gone down the tubes, and it was actually one of the companies that provides a lot of the insurance coverage for the Formula One teams for their transporters and equipment and crew and so on. And a rather quick deal had to be put in place before the Brie, and I think before the Grand Prix before that, to make sure that they're all covered, so that all the vehicles, all the transports were covered on the roads, and that the crew were covered and all the gear was covered.
Well, to give you an idea, Marsh, with the insurance brokers, the official insurance brokers of Cairns, they were the ones that were dealing with that arrangement. And not only has Philip Pilates been involved in this whole drama, but Prancing Horse Racing has had something like $100,000 worth of claims that have been knocked back because of the collapse of that company. So, as you said, it's not only in Australia that we're seeing these insurance companies bite the dust.
Queensland Raceway saw a crowd of 13,545 people enjoy a thrilling Nations Cup and GTP races. Starting with the Nations Cup, Paul Stokel put a poor weekend behind him at the GMC 400 when he drove off to victory in an impressive style.
So I was being a little bit conservative later in the race on brakes, and basically just trying to maintain a gap, but I got to admit there wasn't that much in it. There's temperatures up here, we're running a pad that gives us good braking ability, but it doesn't last that well, so I just didn't want to mistake. If I got to a point where that faded and I'd run off, he wasn't far enough behind that I could get back on the track and recover, so I was just covering all options really, and or all chances, and as it worked out it was fine. Canberra, we were quick as well, we were on pole, but unfortunately through circumstance we never really got anywhere, but the car's good everywhere, you know. It's probably lacked in the low speed here. We've got a really good balance through the high speed corners, and I think that's probably where we've got our advantage on Jeff, and he's maybe pulling us in at the end of the straight. Really, my target's Jim Richards. I've got to pull as many points on him this weekend as I can. Eastern Creek, their circuit, and then, you know, we start to get towards India, and that goes back into their favour again, so I've got to play a bit of catch-up.
Baird was followed in close behind Jeff Morgan. Morgan having an interesting run to the chequered flag when both cars hit the line side by side, and perhaps the location of the transponder made the difference.
Yeah, I thought we were in front. I sort of thought, what can I do? And I thought, I can pass him on the line. And I tried it a couple of times, and we did it. And I thought we were well and truly in front of him. But as you say, I don't know where the transponder is, but we'll be moving it to the front of the car.
Need it right on that bumper, because it's a long nose on the Viper.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but Craig drove a good race defensively, and I just couldn't find a hole. So he deserved his second place.
And in the end, a very exciting day's racing for all the Nation Cup competitors once you get Stokel out of the way.
Yeah, well, you know, Paul had a clean run, and, you know, he was probably running in the 15s and 14s. We were stuck on the 16s, which is where Craig felt he could run. I mean, we could have gone a lot faster, but you can't go any faster if there's a red Ferrari in front of you. It felt like Michael Schumacher.
Jeff Morgan telling us about his finish, turning our attention to the GT performance category. Class A, a few of the competitors said that John Bow was just playing with them, but John didn't think so.
Oh, that's bullshit. No way in the world. Actually, that last race was quite difficult, and where the Mustang is strong is through the middle of the corner. That means it handles well, handles better than the other cars, but it's got the best of everything on it. It's got Olin's dampers and very good team of people put it together, but in actual fact, the turbo cars and the Commodore's got more power out of the corners, so I don't think there's a lot of playing going on.
The car got bogged down at the start there, and it was something we noticed at Wakefield Park with the couple of problems that you did have over the weekend.
Well, it hasn't got as good a power to weight ratio. Where its strength is through the middle of the corner. I mean, but the other guys block so badly that you can't actually get around them. You know, I mean, it's just horses for courses.
It makes for a good race to watch, though.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I compete in this category because I love it. I reckon GTP's always been a great category, and it has a relevance to the motor industry, and I like it. I mean, it's not the same as V8 supercars, but it still has quite a significance, and that's why I do it. I mean, I'm not blueing about the other blokes, and I'd rather they didn't blue about me.
What about the car? Because since you've driven the car last at Wakefield Park, It's been upside down. It's had a Craig Baird in there having it set up for him. Did it take a little bit of time to get used to it, or was there absolutely no difference to the car?
No, not really. The Pro Car guys have restricted the revs by 500 revs, which sort of affects it a bit because it runs out of revs quickly in a couple of spots here. But that's all. I mean, the rest of it, basically, Craig drove it and did a good job in it in Canberra because Mark hurt his arm. So, you know, I mean, he was thrown into the deep end. The car basically is the same. We've changed a few things on here, but it's not too bad.
And for yourself, it's coming to a fairly busy time of the year for you.
It's always a busy time. You know, when you compete in two categories, it's busy. But that's good. That's what I like. I mean, I race because I like it, and I race because it's my livelihood. But if, you know, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't do it.
Although Bauer did pick up victories in race one and race two, in race three, it was Wayne Boatwright's turn to turn the tables. Although a red flag stopping the racing three laps early might have been the difference between victory and second place for the Subaru WRX driver.
Yeah, Sirius Software WRX gets off the mark pretty good, but pulled a bit of a gap on Brett and just looked after the tyres and was just waiting for the inevitable to happen, which was that John Bauer was going to catch me in that Mustang.
Yeah, it has been an interesting day's racing because Bauer just did not get off the start at all, which gave all you four-wheel drives and Subaru drivers all the advantage you could take.
Our only saving grace is the thing doesn't seem to get off the line too well, and we were able to scoot away at the beginning there, and when he caught me, I thought my plan was to try to back him up and get the other guys to catch him again. But I don't think we could have hung on for too many more laps, so I'm glad it was short and hope nobody's hurt in the incident.
And of course, for yourself, new sponsor on board for this meeting.
Yeah, Sirius Software is our major sponsor. Of course, also supported by the New South Wales Impreza WRX Club, and the members of that club give us great support. But the guys have done a great job for us. Dan and Scott and Shane, Steve and Alan have really built a great car for us today, and the thing was handling like a dream during that session.
Well, exciting days racing here at Queensland Raceway and another successful Pro Car.
Yeah, it certainly is. I don't know what the crowd figures are, but I think we've probably bettered the Wakefield event, which was an inaugural meeting and a great success, so that's great to see the interest in production car racing.
In Class B, it was Tim Lay and the Volkswagen team that took out success.
It's quite funny, really. I mean, there's a bit of a cult following, as you can see.
And even with the youth fellas up the other side of the track, they were all cheering you on as
well.
Yeah. You wouldn't think you'd get the support there.
No. Formula Ford, Formula Holden, I never got any support. Now I'm in a Volkswagen, and they're cheering me down. So it's quite funny, but it's good for Volkswagen. I mean, they've had a bit of a rough time on their initiation of motorsport. And we've got some white off this weekend, got the car a little bit better, and a track that suits the car a little bit better. And It's worked quite well.
It has been an interesting year for yourself and for the team because it would be a lot less pressurised than what Formula Holden has been in the past.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite funny, really. I mean, I actually enjoy the racing in GTP. I mean, there's some pretty rough tactics out there by some of the guys, but which, you know, you don't lie a lot of trust in them, whereas in Formula Holden you know all the guys and they've been through a certain breeding ground and you sort of got a bit of trust in them. But it's different now. It's still enjoyable, and I'm very lucky to have a driver.
The boys in the team, they really do enjoy being at the racetrack. Every day a different hairdo, every weekend it seems like it's a different paint job.
Oh mate, they are loose. I came down for breakfast this morning and they said they were going to do something special, and they've got the giant black wigs on this morning, so they're great. They're good for the sport, you know, guys like that. They just make life a lot more enjoyable.
It does help with the image that Volkswagen is trying to portray as it being a fun car that anyone can enjoy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, that's exactly where the market's aimed at young people, and obviously, you know, those guys sort of, we do plan around a bit, but at the same time, we're very serious guys, so, you know, it's certainly good fun.
Volkswagen turning around what was a disappointing Canberra race meeting for the team.
Yeah, I mean, we struggled there. Like I said before, I mean, the stop-go circuits were struggled, and the cars had a lot more weight. So when we've taken the ballast out of the car and come here, I mean, the car would have been good here anyway, but just that little bit extra weight out of the cars helped a lot as well. Like Adelaide, Wakefield Park, Canberra are all stop-go circuits, and the car won't excel at those circuits because it hasn't got quite the torque in the engine that we need compared to the other, obviously, cars in the past.
And for yourself, the Volkswagen deal, is it a one season by season deal, or have they signed up for a little while?
Oh no, for this year it is a one year deal, and I'll just see what transpires next year. I mean, I'm aiming to, I really, you know, want to try and climb the ladder a bit further. I mean, I've obviously been through open wheelers, and my main aim was to get in a V8, and I'm doing that with Paul Wheeler again in the endurance races this year. So next year, we'll just see what happens. I mean, obviously, sponsorship comes into the play when you're trying to climb the ladder as well. So, keep plugging away.
Volkswagen make a V8 Beetle.
Oh, you can just see me be knocking off my gate in a Beetle, can't you?
In GT production, it was an interesting day's racing, which saw Scott Lodesman continuing his winning ways in his Holden VT as he took victory once again in the production class C category.
Mate, it was. We were third on the grid, which I thought was a pretty ordinary qualifier yesterday. We had a bit extra weight in the vehicle, so we had to do some adjustments. But yeah, it came through and we had a win. It was good.
The hot conditions for yourself and for the car making much of a difference here than what you've experienced so far in the championship?
Again, the only difference with this car is we never really ran it before in hot or cold conditions, so every time we go out it just behaves different to the old VT, so it's just something we've got to adjust to. But yeah, the guys worked hard all weekend, and we had some changes last night that we didn't have in qualifying, and the car comes through and it handled really well.
What drew you to the pro car division?
I just think I like the way normal people could relate to it, and I think it's very even the way they structure it, and it's a good sport because everyone's pretty much even. I always like driving Commodores and other people like Ford, so it's still got that stature about it. That's probably what drew me to it.
And of course your Commodore, how much different to the road car that you can get around in weekdays?
The only thing different to it, it's got a MoTeC, it's got an onboard computer, it's got struts, custom built struts on the front of it, the suspension's free, but there's not as much as what people think there is. You've got some race seats and some harnesses in there for normal sort of, just for safety reasons, but no, it's not much different to what you run on a car. The engine's just absolutely stock standard, that's as it came out of the factory floor, and it's got a different exhaust on it, that's about it. Other than that, it's pretty much straight out of the factory.
And what was your background with racing?
I haven't got one really. I did a little bit in street sedans for about a year to cut my teeth, and I practiced a little bit in GTP last year, and this year we sort of, the boys got a bit serious and we're here, and I just think it's all coming together for us. So the package is good, the car was good. We started off with the VT, it was very slow. The new Chev engine, it's going really well. It hasn't lost a race yet, so it's at a 100% success rate, so hopefully it keeps going.
And for someone who looks at coming into motorsport and getting into pro car, you're coming up to Queensland from Sydney, you have to bring a lot of people with you. Is it a bit expensive to be in this form of motorsport over others?
Mate, we only bring sort of the two boys come away with me, and they're very helpful, they're always supportive, and they work on the car down in Sydney, and we're sort of like a budget package, but realistically it probably costs you $5,000 to come to Queensland for a weekend. By the time you drag the car up, fuel it, buy tyres and run the race car with no smashes or major damage, you're probably looking at $5,000 around. But we don't have a transport, we've got a trailer and drag it around the Land Cruiser, and so I call us a bit of a poverty pack, but we get by and we do the job, but it still costs us $5,000 around, so it isn't cheap.
And a lot of white panels on the car, obviously undefeated so far, it would be a good one to put your stickers on.
Mate, well, we're always open to talk to people, so that's why we're running around with no sponsorship on it, so if anyone wants to talk to us, we're always open for sponsors. So, but yeah, I think it'd be good, and I think we got something to offer somewhere in a lot of magazines these days, and I think our sport as well. You got a supercar, for example, that normal people can't relate to a supercar, whereas this sort of thing here, I know stacks of people that go on the net at night time and ask how we're going because they actually got one in their garage. Mm. So they follow the car, and also now we're getting a bit more recognition, so they're following my career as well, which is good. So yeah, we're getting a bit of coverage, so worthwhile jumping on board.
But Alan Holgersson was putting on a fantastic performance, almost catching Scott Lodesman. It was at the end Robert Chadwick in the Mitsubishi taking out round win in Class D. In Class E, it was Luke Yulden once again extending his championship lead.
Oh, definitely. Qualifying was probably the closest it's been all year. The races sort of didn't turn out that way, but it's good after last weekend we had at Lakeside where we sort of lunched an engine to get any points. To get maximum points this weekend is excellent.
And now with the racing series getting towards a close, you've got a handy points buffer.
I'm not quite sure what the points lead is, but it beats being 1 point ahead.
And for yourself? pro car, what has that meant for you in your driving development? Of course, you've started out in the open wheels and now moving into the King Tops. Is that where your focus is?
Basically, it's enabled me to actually drive something this year. Obviously, once you win Formula Ford, you're out. And to make a jump to Europe or to touring cars, it costs a lot of money. And with pro cars, you know, it's sort of a cost-effective type of tin-top racing, yeah.
Now, you're funding your own program in the Astra?
I got a little help, from Holden and Castro and my most important sponsor, Moran Precision Engineering. They're all tipping in. So, yeah, we've sort of got the budget enough to do it this year.
And have you been looking at, you know, 1 year out, 2 year out, will you be planning to stay in Class E, or do you plan to make a move up the class?
I don't really plan to be in pro car that long if I can help it. Definitely, we've got Queensland and Bathurst in the touring car with Larry Perkins, so hopefully next year we'll be in a touring car.
Mm-hmm.
But if all else fails, I think we'll be in one of these tin tops in pro car, yeah, definitely.
And you're enjoying yourself with the racing out here? And
Definitely. Tin top is obviously where I want to be in Australia, so yeah, the other form of tin top racing that's any good is pro car.
And what about the crowd here today? You felt like it was a good roll-up for a standalone meeting?
Excellent. The amount of youth that are out there in that ute must is unbelievable, but definitely pro car is getting probably bigger crowds than the Konica series, so what does that say?
Paul Morris was making his first appearance in the V8 Brute series.
Bit of relaxation for me to come out here and enjoy myself and just have a drive and not worry about too many things.
It is a bit of a change where you've got no weight over the back now. It's quite a different driving style, isn't it?
Well, not really. I'm really surprised how well the utes handle. I think Wayne Park's done a great job getting the cars pretty even, and they really are a joy to drive. They're not tail happy sort of things that you'd expect.
And of course, no stranger to jumping into different makes and models, Super Tourers,
yep.
V8, and now jumping into the Brutes. Is it something you might be enticed to do a bit more regularly?
Look at the opportunity come up, but I just had a phone call on Thursday night from Ross Palmer. He said, "Hey, there's a youth here, come and have a go." And I said, "Oh, thanks for inviting me, and just here, you know, having a good time." So, that's all I really want to do.
Was Thursday the right time to call with the win at Calder Park? The party was finished by then?
Yeah, we haven't had time to even let our hair down yet. We've been that busy getting our new car finished, so we'll probably have to wait for the end of the year to have a celebration.
And Matt Neal, of course, coming over to join you for the long distance races and a few of the sprints beforehand.
Yeah, I picked him up from the airport on Friday morning. He's actually out here today and got him on the radio talking to me while I'm driving the ute, so we're having a bit of fun.
How's it going in the heat? Because I'm from Canberra and I'm melting.
Yeah, he's enjoying it, I think. He likes it out here so much, and I think if he had the opportunity to come out here and race, he'd move out here for sure.
Mm. Of course, for yourself, it's still a busy campaign ahead.
Oh, it is, we've still got to keep trying to get our car competitive and get our new car competitive, and by the time the season stops in November, it'll be pretty hard year.
And it'll be time to jump back in the Super Tourer.
Yeah, it will be, so there's plenty to do.
English driver Matt Neal, who turned up to support Paul Morris for the remainder of the V8 Supercar season, has found that he's coming into a red-hot team with victory last weekend at Calder, putting that little bit more pressure on him.
It makes you nervous because it puts you under the spotlight, doesn't it? So, but I knew Paul had it in him. I came over for Bathurst in the V8 last year, and the team and the infrastructure he was putting in then was the team of guys he got around him. I knew were very special, and it was only going to be a matter of time before he upset the apple cart, really.
And of course, you're no stranger to privateer victories, having picked up $500,000 in one season from Mr. Gow.
£500,000. In Aussie dollars, it was about $1 million. So it was it was nice to take it off Gow. But it's weird because people have likened Paul and my horse to each other. And we've sort of gone back and checked everything we've done in life, and we're like mirror images on the opposite sides of the world. And I likened the win he did at Calder last weekend to my big win in 99. It's strange.
Well, now you're out here in Australia because you were supposed to be running in BTCC competition, but problems there with Persia.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very long story, which takes probably a lot of explaining, but I'm running in ETT this year, or have been, and the opportunity. When I was running BTC, I couldn't do the Australian Championship in Bathurst because it conflicted, but it was a blessing in disguise when I left the BTC thing. So, and Paul had got these drives that he wanted me to do Bathurst and then the Queensland 500, and then he said, hey, let's come down here early and then let's get your head into gear so you're totally comfortable in the car for the two driver races. Yeah, great, no problem.
Now, of course, there is quite a big difference between yourself and Paul physically. You're, what, 7 foot?
6 foot six, yeah. Almost. 2 metres, yeah.
And Paul, of course, is struggling to hit six.
He's about 6'2", I think, 6'1". Yeah, so it's about 4 or 5 inches between us. We drive in a Bathurst, we have exactly the same seating position, everything. You've got all these other guys who are about 2 inches difference and all their seats, swabs and exchange and everything, and me and Paul just jump straight into the same seat. It's not a problem.
This weekend you've been here at Queensland Raceway watching, well, something that a lot of Australians don't even realise what's going on here with Procar and the different divisions that they have to offer race fans.
It's good to see how well supported it is, you know, in cars at the event and in crowds coming to see it. I mean, it's a great race series, and it provides really good racing. It's good entertainment.
Of course, you've seen utes racing for probably what, the first time.
And we do have pickups. Well, we don't call them utes. We call them pickups. In we have the NASCAR version of the pickups in Britain, but I don't know they're as entertaining as this lot.
And for people who weren't here, you were actually running the radios to Paul when he was out on the track.
Yeah, it was nice to be shouting at someone instead of being shouted at. But he was, I was doing the crew chief this weekend.
And, well, it came off to a good start too with the win of the first race. He was obviously listening intently to you.
Must have been the coaching. The radio must have come unplugged in the after races.
Well, Matt, it's a pleasure to see you back in the country, and we wish you all the best for all the races you've got. Are you going to be doing much tripping back to ETC races, or are you going to stay here now for the duration?
At the moment, I'm here pretty much for the duration. I might pop back here every now and then, but the team are not too sure whether they've got actually the finances to finish the ETC campaign. So Paul said, well, maybe hang out here a bit more, and to me, that's great. I didn't want to go home last year. I just love the place. It's a great country with great people in it, and it's got a great race series here.
And for the middle of winter, it's not bad weather up here in Queensland.
Your winter is about 3 times better than any of our summers, so it's pretty neat.
A fantastic day's racing, some great weather, and Procar once again putting on a great day's event.
But everyone will be keenly watching as they do battle next weekend at Oran Park, and I would imagine, Colin Ford, that everyone will be trying to take your camera position off you for the start of all races next weekend.
Well, I think given my success in getting photographs from a particular camera location at Oran Park, the fact that they've actually been repeated this week on the front cover of a particular Auto Action latest issue, the fact that they repeated the big Kev Commodore in flames again on the front cover and also on the Reverential Ramblings pages, proves the fact that I'm going to have to try and keep quiet exactly where that photo opportunity is. But I will be there. Interesting, you should mention about Paul Morris coming back with the Super Touring Championship, the BRC Gases Championship next year. Interestingly enough, in the latest issue of Autosport from the UK, he actually has his two BMWs up for sale. And there is a bit of a whisper doing the rounds that what he might be planning to do is to build a Toka Tourer in a BMW shell to run in that championship.
Mm. Well, it'll be interesting to see how that pans out with the summer series coming up quite soon, and it feels like summer up here in Queensland. So I must say that the weather change has not hurt one little bit today. Quite sunburned after a very exciting day's racing. In the other classes, just to let you know, it was Tim Lay in the Volkswagen who, surprisingly, as I said, had a great fan club up in amongst the Utes that were part of the Ute Muster today. He took out Class B in GT Performance. In Class C, GT Production was Chadwick in the Mitsubishi Magna. Class D was Scott Loadsman in the Commodore, who had two wins from two starts. And in fact, since he's put this Commodore on the track, he has not lost a heat race in GT Performance category. In Class E, of course, that's the small car class, Luke Gilden is continuing on his championship run to, well, really dominate that class in the Holden Astra. So all in all, a very exciting day's racing here for Procar in their second standalone meeting at the Queensland Raceway. 13,545 people attending over the 2 days, Colin, and they saw pretty exciting racing. And well, once they nobble at Lamborghini and the Mustang a bit, we're going to see a lot even closer racing in the future.
Yeah, I'd say that there'll probably be the usual screening about parity as always, but the balance will be figured out over a period of races. And I must admit, it is very exciting racing to watch the GT production, GT performance, and the Nations Cup, plus the Formula 3, which actually is a championship in Australia that they really should get behind, because Formula 3, if it could take off here in Australia, does provide a direct link to a category in a championship that has an equivalent in Europe, the UK, etc., and is seen by many as a front door into Formula 1.
That's right. Anyway, I won't catch you in the studio next week because you will be down the road at Oran Park, so I guess I'll be in the studio doing what you're doing tonight.
That is, of course, if the people do send us the appropriate pieces of accreditation, as always. But anyhow, we'll see what happens next week. Either we'll be down the road talking to you from Oran Park, or we'll be here live in the studio once again for another edition of Inside Motorsport. Good evening to you, Craig.
Thanks very much, Colin.
And we'll be back again next week for another edition of Inside Motorsport.
Inside Motorsport is produced by Thunder Media in the studios of Triple S FM Canberra via Comrade Sat with the support of the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia.